Matinee with Bob and Ray. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome again to our ending series of public service programs.
What was that again?
Heard right now to 1:30 all the way with Ken and Bill, our snuffers musicians at the organ and piano. And here, on behalf of our sponsor, is Larry Lovebreath with just a word of reminder.
All right.
Well, Ray, thank you very much. And we have a very select group of sponsors with us this afternoon, an outboard Motor Mart, a Revere Racing, and a Boston and Maine Railroad. What could be nicer than all of that, eh?
Well, nothing much, that's for sure, Bob. Ken?
That concludes the prepared portion of today's program.
That part was scripted, folks. From here on in, it'll be just mostly off the cuff, so
just
to speak.
Just kind of ad-lib from here down through to 1:30.
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Anything can happen, and usually does.
A reminder now that no portion of this program can be rebroadcast without the express consent of Scooter Rizzuto of the American League.
So put that in your pipe, huh?
Will you do that, friends? And let us know if it's milder.
Now, Mary, you and Arthur are going to start off with a song today.
I thought new format. I thought we'd get right into a musical today.
All right.
Let's get the word. It's from Call Me Madam, I think, isn't it?
Sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Irving, Berlin's.
I'll sing the part that Ethel Moyman sang.
Yeah.
And you sing the part that Paul Lucas sang in the movie?
Russell Knipe. Russell Knipe sang that.
Russell Knipe. Yes. All right. Well, then why don't we get it going?
It's nice. Nice tempo.
I hear singing and there's no one there. I smell blossoms and the trees are bare. All day long I seem to walk on air. I wonder why. I wonder why. I keep tossing in my sleep at night. And what's more, I've lost my appetite. Stars that used to twinkle in the skies are twinkling in my eyes. I wonder why.
You don't need analyzing. It is not so surprising that you feel very strange but nice.
La la, sing it, boy!
Your heart goes pitter-patter. I know just what's the matter because I've been there once or twice.
Give out!
Put your head on my shoulder. You need someone who's older. Rub down with a velvet glove. There's nothing you can take to relieve that pleasant ache. You're not sick, you're just in love.
You don't hear analyzing.
It's not
there.
So surprising.
You feel very
strange tonight. Your heart goes pitter-patter. I know just what's the matter because I've been there once or twice.
Keep tossing
in my
sleep at night.
And
what's more, I lost my
appetite. There's nothing you can take to relieve that pleasant
ache.
I think you're just in love.
Quiet, boys. That was wonderful,
Thank you,
Arthur.
I hear music and there's no one there. I smell flowers.
You do.
And it's Texas. Hello, Ted.
How did Bob and Ray?
What are you wearing, Charlie? Shave lotion or something?
You went too far with that line. You're supposed to end it with, I smell. Want to take the line over again?
No, I do not.
Well, it's a beautiful day here in Boston.
Yes, it is. It's a nice day here.
And we're all set for the Red Sox-Yankees game.
Yeah, that's right. We
happening
are.
At 1:55.
Thank you, Ted.
We don't use that phrase, happening. It's taking place.
Or broadcasting time. Any number of phrases can be used in there. Look, before we leave, we got a lot of stuff we want to get rid of, Bob, down cellar.
A lot of things. We
better make a lot of giveaways.
Who's going to get all of that cider that we're leaving here?
Well, that has turned, I'm afraid to say. That stuff now belongs to the Internal Revenue Department, and we better keep our hands off it, actually.
Well,
unless we want to pay tax on it.
We have 400 copies of How Times Have Changed piled up down there.
What?
We have 400 copies of How Times Have Changed piled up.
That you can have, friends, for practically nothing. We'll even pay
the
freight charges.
You can have it for what it's worth. You can have it for practically nothing.
And we'll be glad to pay the freight on it just to ship it on out of here, actually. We have a couple of Tim's caps that Bob and I used to wear in our skiing act that is still available. If you'd like to have one of them or both of them for your own collection, then just put on a postcard, head. And we know what you're talking about. Hat. And we'll
either
just...
or Tim.
Or Tim, and we'll get the thing right out to you.
Then there are...
Wait a minute.
What?
Include your name and address and your stocking size.
We have a few jowl strands left. Oh, here's our old music. Bill was giving us all of our...
Oh, it'd be nice.
Bill, this
Bill.
Is sad.
Oh, gee, Bill, you shouldn't make it so
as
sad.
As I was walking down the beach one bright and sunny day...
Well, that was
I
the
saw
thing.
A great big wooden box floating in the bay.
That was one of our big production numbers.
Then maybe you remember long about the middle of last summer, we had a song. I get along without you very well, of course I do, except when soft rains fall, drip from leaves, and I recall thrill of being sheltered in your arms, of course I do. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Another one have we got here, anything? Is that all you've got, just two pieces of music? It must be all you've got, huh?
I feel la, 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 la.
You've already done that one.
Oh.
Well, while our secretary is going after the rest of the music copies, why don't we hear about the B&M?
Well, all right, sure.
Hmm?
We're announcing attractive weekend summer train service to the heart of the White Mountains.
Omaha, Nebraska.
No. Now, for your vacation convenience, the Boston and Maine Railroad announces that starting this weekend, the fast, diesel-powered Mountaineer will again be in service.
Thank goodness.
Now, every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, this here air-conditioned train will leave this here North Station, Boston, at 9 a.m. Now, you'll speed through the beautiful New Hampshire region to the heart of the cool, lofty White Mountains, and remember, the
Go right ahead. I'm going to make a medley here, and then we'll go into it after it.
All right, sure. Just make
songs that we made famous.
Where were we? Oh, we're in the heart of the beautiful White Mountain. Takes you to North Conway, Crawford Notch, Bretton Woods, Fabian.
When was the last time you were in Fabian, friend?
I'm trying to think. Actually, it's been years since I was in Fabian. Whitefield, Littleton. Bethlehem. Now, that trip to Bethlehem will take us a little longer than the weekend, and you better check with your boss, even get the time off. Yeah. It's really fast, carefree travel, too, friends. For instance, the Mountaineer speeds you from Boston to North Conway in just 2 hours and 59 minutes. Or 3 hours, if you want to split a hair. Here, hand me a hatchet, Bob.
There it is.
It returns every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, arriving back in Boston at 10:30 p.m., post-meridian. A lot of people have written saying, what do you mean when you say P.M. after a time? It's post-meridian. And A.M., of course,
could mean post-mortem, too.
Yes. Take it easy.
Or it could mean Philip Morris.
Yes. Take it easy. Take the train. The air-conditioned, diesel-powered Mountaineer. That would be one swell way of spending a gorgeous weekend in the heart of the White Mountains. You board the Mountaineer at the North Station, 9 a.m., and have a time, the time of your life. And for listening to me, I thank you, and good night. Announcer?
Now we'd like to do a medley of the songs we have helped to introduce and make popular. How was this one? That one is first, all right? Start with that one and go through the rest of them. He knows the keys. This the verse?
Whoa.
Then the next one. The next one we
introduce.
Letzo, you can't even sing that key yourself. What are you giving it to me for?
Whoa. Won't you play simple?
Then next, of course, was Motto.
Rambling Rose of the Wild Wood.
Bet you think we're...
Motto, with your fragrance divine.
Speed, where are you going with that bucket?
How about this one? This was another one that was real big.
Dearie, do you remember when we waltzed to the Sousa band? Why wasn't the music red? Chowder parties down by the seashore. Every 4th of July, test your memory, my dearie. Do you recall when Henry Ford couldn't even fix
running board under a Chandler 6?
Dearie, how life was cheery in the good old days gone by. Do you remember, if you remember? Well, dearie, you're much older than I.
Then, I never put my toys away.
You don't remember that one. Don't.
That was a beautiful one. Of course, y'all remember.
I'd like to be a cow in Switzerland, where the grass is always green, where the hunters hide behind the trees, shooting holes in good old Schweitzer cheese, where the bulls are all such gentlemen. So gently they go.
Excuse me, Ed.
I'd like to be a cow in Switzerland. I'll bet that you would too.
All right, Mary.
Oh. Well, tell me, don't let me
That's
stand
the end
there
of it.
Blowing out all my wind.
Well, I guess that would about cover the big numbers that we've had.
Except for the songs that we wrote, and we don't want to go into them right now any more than you want us to.
Telephone is ringing.
Hello.
Where's our call to operator, Eugene Aragon? Who are we going to speak to out there? Mr. George L. Krubisch?
Not in your life.
Well, who is it, operator?
Larry J. Clappy Hummonhill.
Larry Hummonhill, eh? Hello, Mr. Hummonhill. Put him on.
Hello there.
Hello. This is the Bob and Ray show calling you.
Yes, I know. I've been listening to you.
And we've got some wonderful prizes here if you can answer our mystery question.
Surely.
And you'll be in line for some wonderful things. What was the song that Bob and Ray were just singing when they were interrupted by this phone call? Mary Magoon was actually singing it, I guess. Were you listening to your
yes,
radio?
Yes, I was. Was it Marta, Rambling Roads of the Wildwood?
Yes, it was. It was. And you...
No,
you...
it wasn't either, and you know it. And I don't want to win that
I know,
way.
But I want a winner.
Well, you
got
can't...
to have a winner here,
no,
sir.
No, I want to win fair and square.
Well, I'll give you a hint. Was it, I'd like to be...
Yes, that was it.
I'd like to be a
cow
in Switzerland. Right, okay. You've put yourself in line for the giant jackpot of prizes.
Uh-oh.
And all you have to do now is identify the number Ken and Bill are going to play here now. Do you have nylon, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead, Ken and Bill. Let's. All right, now what's that number that Ken and Bill just played?
Tenting tonight.
Tenting tonight on the old campground. Wonderful.
Yes,
there.
We're in the money again.
Oh, you've done wonderful. Well, how do you feel, Mr. Hummonhill?
Fine, fine.
I suppose you know all of the wonderful prizes we have here for you.
Yes, I do. I do know.
First of all, we have a trip out to Boston Light by rowboat, all arranged for you and every member of your family. You will do the paddling, sir. How do you like that, huh?
He's fainted away with joy.
Oh, well, operator, we'll call him back later and tell him about the prizes, shall we?
Yes, he just sunk away into
joy
a leather
fainted away, too.
Chair.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Yeah. I guess that's the end of our quiz for today.
Incidentally, I hate to disturb you, Bob, but I've been meaning to tell you this since we went on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But Your cast is on my foot.
Excuse me, I'll move it. Incidentally, this is a big moment because right now, in front of all these thousands of people, I'm going to throw my crutches away.
Fine.
I figured.
Right. Sure.
Before we left, it would be a nice thing to do. Goes one of them. Did you hear that?
Sure.
And there's the other one. I've thrown the crutches away.
Well, Bob, you're going to be here now till how long?
Well, until somebody goes over and gets them and brings them back to me. Naturally, I can't walk without them.
Friends, we have in the studio one of America's new movie stars, and he's in town again, Barry Campbell. And he's up here to help us say so long for a while. Barry, come on over here.
Thanks, Ray.
Barry Campbell.
Good afternoon, everyone.
You have been the favorite of so many of we moviegoers for so long that it's indeed a privilege and a treat for me to sit here opposite the table and more or less throw a few questions your way, sir.
I'll be glad to answer any I can, Ray.
Your last movie, Stampede, I think was tremendous. Wonderful.
We had a lot of fun making Stampede.
Where'd you make that? Was it Times Square?
No, we made that in Colorado on location.
I see. Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we had a cast
excuse
of
me, just
real...
The organ.
Excuse me. Yeah. We had real Pueblo Indians. And we had a load of real good actors and actresses taking part.
Did you make any friends with the Indians while you're in location there with them?
Well, Ray, the Pueblos are rather hard to get to know.
Well,
I did.
There's a language
barrier
there, isn't there?
What's that? Yeah, they speak
Pueblo.
Pueblos, we call it. But
yeah. But go on, Barry. Sure.
We made that out there. It took about 6 weeks to make it. And
tell me, how was that film? Was it in black and white?
It was in gorgeous black and white.
That'll be beautiful to see at the theater. And is it talkie?
It was a talking picture, yes.
Well, that's something that we'll want to see, definitely. What's the basis of the whole thing? As I understand it, you are a teacher from Vermont. Isn't that right?
I'm from back east, yeah. I don't believe they mentioned Vermont, actually.
Well, I just mentally conjure up from Vermont when I hear a cowboy picture from back east. And you go out, as I understand it, to teach in this small frontier town where gold will be discovered in the next movie in that series.
That's not it at all, Ray.
Well, now, see, I've been looking at the wrong rushes. Go on.
No, the picture concerns me as a fellow from back east who goes out and buys a ranch with money that was left to me by relatives. Didn't say who they were.
Yes, a nifty twist there. And then what happens?
The cattle all get loose. The catalog gets loose. And we were in quite a pickle there for a while. The cattle stampeded. That's where the title of the picture comes from.
I understand it, the cameramen were in the middle of the stampede.
They were all killed. What?
Never did film it, isn't that true?
We salvaged the film, yes. That's why when you go to your local theater, the film is quite dirty. It's all scratched up and torn. You can't...
The cameramen, I understand, were not salvaged.
They were all scratched up and torn, yes.
Uh-huh. And then who
you can't tell me on the screen. You couldn't tell it was me from Ava Gardner. That's how bad the film is.
Well, say
kind
that.
Of funny. Everybody laughs, but...
But it was a serious
we've
thing.
We've got to try to pull some of the money out of it.
It didn't start out as a comedy, though, did it, sir?
No.
You get giggling along about the third reel.
Well, we had such lines as, which way did they go? Things like that
Wonderful.
That kind of broke us up.
Wonderful, sure. Well, tell me, who has the lead in the thing, actually?
I do.
Well, I mean, who's the who plays opposite you?
Lionel Barrymore.
And he plays the part of...
Lewis Stone.
Uh-huh. Gee, it sounds like a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it's a new twist. It's the first time it's been done, probably.
Do you have any cavalry scenes at all, Barry?
Hmm?
Do you have any cavalry scenes where you're all beleaguered until the cavalry comes?
No, we couldn't get Nelson Eddy for this particular thing.
Well, who sings Rosemary, I Love You in it, then?
Rosemary Lombardo.
Say, it's an all-star cast.
Kind of makes it like she's singing to herself. But aside from that, the picture is terrible.
I know. I have done the Greek language track.
Choreography.
It's going to be shown over there, too. It's going to be shown in all foreign countries, isn't it? I know that
I believe it is. I haven't heard.
I was called upon to do the... as I say, several of the foreign languages, because I speak them fluently.
Well, as a result of this, to sum it all up, I find, after
well,
reading,
again,
after reading the reviews and everything, and the the various criticism that I've had, that I definitely have a blot on my escutcheon.
I was going to speak to you about it. If you try a little Sparver movie, I think probably you could get rid of it.
Well, that there is Mugu Guy Pan.
Well, Barry, I know that you used to be an orchestra lead. I guess you've given that up now.
We were trying to do something with music back there.
I have an idea for you. I was wondering if maybe you and, say, Jack Ogie couldn't produce one of those college things. Jack Ogie could be quarterback.
Well, we've been trying to get Johnny Downs to take part in it, too.
He'd be cheerleader.
Yeah.
And you could Martha Ray, of course, would be the love interest.
She'd be the fullback, wouldn't she?
I was thinking that this fall there'll be a big demand for these college movies. Jack Ogie and yourself.
You've given me an idea.
Well, you take it back to Hollywood with you, will you?
You wrote it down on this piece of paper. I presume you don't want it read over the air.
No. All right. Now, we have a habit here, Bob and I both, Barry, of when a guest comes, he reads one of our commercials.
Well, I'll tell you, my contract doesn't permit me to read any commercials.
Well, we have a contract that says you can't get out of the studio unless you do. So we're we're stymied. That's the term we golfers use, we're stymied.
The point is, we've got to have this commercial read or else.
So, Bob, why don't you read it?
Well, all right. Are you the person who spends your vacations at the lake or the ocean and doesn't own an outboard motor?
No, I spend mine at a Manhattan hotel with an outboard motor.
Well, you don't know what fun, what carefree hours you can have with a Johnson Seahorse. They're so friendly and lovable.
And they don't eat much either, friends.
The outboard motor bar at 309 Atlantic Avenue in Boston
very
is direct lucky. Factory representative and repair headquarters for world-famous Johnson Seahorse outboard motors and maintains repair facilities and complete parts department for all other makes of outboard motors.
Sir, I heard the announcement on the radio.
Yes.
This here outboard of mine ain't working.
All right, well, let's put it up here on the table. Oh, where's the rope? Get the rope?
Yeah, well, I'm wearing it for a tie.
Let me just take that off there, sir. Oh, we'll see what's wrong with the motor.
The rope will go on it okay, but when you turn the rope, all you get is muscles. You get no noise.
Have you got gasoline in this?
Yes. Very definitely.
Oil in it?
Oil, oatmeal, everything it should have.
It should run. I can't see. Will you see us after the show and we'll try to fix it?
Okay.
No, an outboard motor mart.
But I'm in a race in 5 minutes.
All right. We'll hurry then. You'll find Penyan and Thompson boats and all types of boating accessories such as life preservers, anchors, oars, seats, and cushions. In addition, outboard motor mart has over 200 used and rebuilt motors to choose from. They also buy outboard motors regardless of age or condition.
That's right.
You're invited to visit Outboard Motomar, 309 Atlantic Avenue in Boston, the largest plant and service department in New England, devoted exclusively to outboard motors. Remember, friends, you can have more vacation fun by skimming over the waters of a friendly lake in an outboard motorboat.
Hello, friendly lake. Get lost.
See, buy your outboard motor at Outboard Motor Mart, 309 Atlantic Avenue, Boston, or write today for free literature.
This week they're sending out a lot of nifty literature that you'll want to have in your library. So, if you'd like it, just send to Outboard Motor Mart at Atlantic Avenue, 309 to be exactly, and they'll get the literature out to you.
Ken and Bill, we'd like to have a last song from you, or some kind of a memory to take away with us today.
I wonder, could you play probably the song that reduced Bob and I one day to hysterics, practically?
Spanish friends.
For so long. That was Francy. And,
That reduced me to hysterics that time, too, only not to such a degree.
But now, friends, we'd like to sound the bugle call here. And if we have the full cooperation of our engineer, I'm sure we'll hear it.
What,
he says.
Young man, if you're too tired to hold down this job, you should have some sleep.
Yes, sir.
You're thinking about your vacation.
Yes, sir.
Are you leaving on vacation today?
Right after the program, I'm leaving on my vacation, and I'm not thinking...
I would advise you to get a lot of rest. Come back here refreshed. Start anew on your job.
Thank you.
Friends, here's an invitation to you personally to go to Wonderland Revere tonight. You'll enjoy watching the most thrilling spectacle in sports. 80 thoroughbred dogs compete in 10 dramatic races. Watch your favorite vie for the lead. Cheer him to the finish line. It's entertaining. It's terrific. No wonder people call dog racing,
"Hey, this is something."
And it's easy to get to Wonderland Revere, too. You take the MTA, friends, or you drive it. Now, the roads are wide, they're pleasant, the parking is free at Wonderland, but we suggest that you get there early. You see, post time for the first race is 7:45, and then the Daily Double closes at 7:30.
You wouldn't want to miss any of that, would you?
The price of admission? Still only 25 cents, one-tenth of a dollar. And that makes Wonderland the biggest quarter's worth of entertainment in the world. And when it's hot in town, remember, there's a cool breeze blowing at Wonderland Revere. And, well, that's just about it. Mm-hmm. See, now, let's see. At the bottom of the thing, we have, Well, isn't that nice?
It's a little note from our salesman, huh?
A little note from our agency, isn't it?
Well,
sure.
Yes, I guess it is.
Yes, it is. So long, you guys. It was wonderful working with you.
We going someplace?
Yeah. We're going right after the program, as a matter of fact.
See, that's right, too. I had almost forgotten.
Well, this series of matinees with Bob and Ray has come to a halt. Of course, you've heard us say this so many times. You think
you won't believe this. I mean,
you're not going to believe us now.
But you'll believe it when you hear Stumpus on Monday.
But Bob and Ray, as such,
such as it is, Bob and Ray.
But to
tell you more about this, here's Mary Magoon.
We've enjoyed it very much. Being here with you whenever we could, whenever the Red Sox were playing a night game.
Or whenever they weren't rained out.
Or when it was raining in Cincinnati, but it was clear in Philadelphia.
That's if it was a Thursday, you know.
And if there was no doubleheaders scheduled in the International League. We had these very definite times. And,
well, we knew by 1:34 every day we were going on.
We had...
I mean, it wasn't as if we weren't prepared.
That's right. But we certainly are going to miss this studio, although certainly I'm not going to miss broadcasting the way they made us broadcast, like this, Bob, upside down, hanging
well,
on the
ceiling. It'll be strange doing programs right side up, but maybe it'll work out, huh?
Mm-hmm. We want to thank Ken and Bill, who've been so wonderful and cooperative with us and have helped us so much, so many times.
Our engineers, Jimmy Sullivan and Charlie Burgoyne and Newt Stevens.
Oh, that's right.
And our producers. Everybody. All of you folks listening.
So long, everyone. Be sure and write if you get work and hang by your thumbs. You'll agree it's milder, much milder.
So long, folks.
Goodbye. Say, if you'd like copies of today's script, just send your request to President Conant, Harvard University. He wrote it. And he's mighty proud of it, too.
Have we got the electric blanket in the mail for him?
Everything is off to President Conant now. Hey, if that cough persists, see your doctor.